We're going to see what she has to say.
I'm a 32-year-old Christian girl who got married at 28.
Oh, this video's... What did I just say about women going into the church from age 25 to 30 looking to get married? What did I just say? I told you! I don't watch these videos all the way through. I told you! What did I just say? Already proving my point right out the gate. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and my friends, today we're going to ask a simple question. Should you trust Christian women? Now you might ask, why am I picking on the Christian women? Why am I not discussing the Jewish women, Muslim women, Hindu women? You could say in general, I'm referring to religious women in general, but the reason I highlight the Christian church is, number one, it's still the biggest religion on the planet. That's number one. Number two, I grew up in the Christian church. I grew up in the non-denominational evangelical type church. So I grew up around this and I understand it more than I understand other religious communities that I have not had personal experience with. While I can read data and I can read page and verse, I am not fully immersed in the culture like I am in the Christian culture. So that's why I want to discuss the Christian women in general, because I've been surrounded by these people my entire life. More accurately, I grew up with these people. I went to high school and middle school with these people. I grew up around them. I know the types. I know how they operate. I know the lifestyle, the thought process, and everything in between. So that's why we're going to discuss them, and we're going to ask the question again, should you trust Christian women? I understand on the face of it, it's a very provocative question, but that's good because that's the point. I want you to think about these things rationally. I want you to think, wait a minute, why do I trust people who claim to be religious or who use their religion as a shield from the accountability of the world? That you could use, for example, single mothers, the skeezers who package themselves up and come to church about age 30, 25 to 30 to 40. Oh yeah, you know who I'm talking about. I can guarantee you I could go in any congregation, especially in the more liberal, metropolitan areas, and I could find the women who are between the ages of 25 and 30 suddenly re-entering the church again, and now they want the good man. Now they want that Gump. They want to check out of the marketplace because they've been on the rooster roller coaster with Pookie and Tyrone and Chad and Ray Ray, and they're done and they're tired of it. And now they want the good man they could have had at age 18, but he was lame, he was goofy, he wasn't interesting, and now you can trust them, because now they want you. Now, I understand, that's not every person's experience. I am fully aware, I have friends who are my age, early 20s, who are getting married, okay? So don't think I only see one side of the spectrum, because you're wrong. Don't typecast me. That being said, that is the exception, number one, not the norm. And number two, we're assuming that that always works out when, statistically speaking, it does not change the overall demographics of who gets divorced and for what reasons. So without further ado, we're going to look at some videos. We're going to talk about this topic. And you feel free to share your comments, your thoughts, your feelings, because a lot of us, this hits home for us. Whether it's we're new Christians, old school Christians, agnostics, this hits home for us. The people who are religious, if you're not religious, how many of you think of religious people as hypocrites? Or you think of them as cherry pickers, virtue signalers? I don't blame you. A lot of times that's actually pretty spot on, quite frankly. And look, we need to make this distinction. The reason I ask the question of should you trust Christian women or religious women is because they're still women, and just like men are just men, and women are just women, people tend to pretend like, oh, because I'm religious, all the other rules, they don't apply to me. All the other expectations, you gotta change it. All the stuff I did beforehand, oh, it's not important because I've been forgiven. So now, because I've been forgiven, you gotta forget. You can't bring it up, you can't use it against me. Well, if you're a man, you can. But if you're a woman, you can't use it against me. Because then you're a bad person. You're not a real man. You're not a real Christian man if you use your head. You're not a real Christian man if you hold me accountable. You're not a real Christian man if you don't just man up and pay off my tab of bad decisions. Mm-hmm. You all know what I'm talking about. Without further ado, I'm going to let this woman talk. We're going to hear what she has to say. Like I said, for those of you who have watched the show before, first, welcome. Second, I don't watch these clips in their entirety before the show. I just make sure there's not a bunch of goofy music or a bunch of unnecessary swearing or whatever, because then it distracts from what they're trying to say and what the message of the show is. So, let's see what she has to say. I have no idea. On the screen, it says a lot of Christian women end up dating men they were supposed to intercede for. Oh, no. This already sounds like we're pulling a Beauty and the Beast. We're trying to turn Pookie into a nice Christian guy wearing an old school pimp suit. All right.
A lot of Christian women end up dating men that they were simply supposed to intercede for. Those are the words of my mentor, and we are about to break it down real quick. Obviously, this is not a one-size-fits-all type of thing, so if it fits, cool. If it doesn't, cool. Where we go wrong as Christian women is, one, not learning the voice of God, right? And what God is really saying, or misinterpreting things he's showing you as, this is supposed to be my husband, because you're looking at from a view of you want to get married versus what does God want in this season? Especially when you're new in the faith, or you need healing in self-love, you desire marriage so badly, you want to be loved, right? So you're willing to end up almost settling for somebody that...
Hey, gentlemen, the reason why I'm cautioning you and we're asking this question today is because this exact line of talking points he just laid out. One of the best supporters on this in this community is a gentleman he's an African-American gentleman. He just told me before on this show in the comments, he's told me, I don't want to expose too much of his business because he told it to me, I think, in somewhat confidence. But he's an African-American man, and he wants to marry a black woman, but he can't find a good black woman. In his words, he can't find one. And I don't blame him, because this is the kind of woman he has to deal with. You don't think I met these people? I grew up in California. I was surrounded by these types of people who were like, oh, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow the Lord, but I don't want to submit to a man. But I don't want to do what... I want to do what I feel like doing, not what the Bible actually says, not what the Torah actually tells me to do. No, I don't want to do none of that, because that's oppressive. That makes me feel bad. So instead, I'll submit to God, but because men are fallible, no, I ain't got to listen to no man, but I'll listen to God. That's the line of logic these women use. This is the type of crimson Christianity I talk about on this show. The subtle communist feminist garbage that's been injected into the church because the church is weak, and a lot, especially the evangelical Protestant church. The Catholic and the Orthodox churches, they're not immune to this phenomenon, but in my experience, they are not as bad from what I've seen. Again, that's anecdotal, I understand, but because of the rich tradition of the Catholic and the Orthodox church and the rites and the sacraments, and they're usually a little bit better at calling out this rubbish. They're better at saying, no, no, ma'am, you can't do this garbage, okay? You can't have it both ways. You can't say, hey, I'll follow God over here because I like it, but I'm not going to do what God says, because then that's no good. That makes me feel bad, so I'm not going to do that. This makes me feel valuable, so I'll do that. This makes me feel secure, so I'll do this. But this makes me feel restricted, so I'm not going to do that. That's the garbage I'm hearing in this video right now. And this is why we're asking this question. Should you trust Christian women? And my answer is no. You shouldn't just trust people because they say they're religious, or they say this, or they say that. Look at how they act. Listen to what they actually say. Read between the black of the letters, and you'll see what they're saying. This is what I'm hearing right now. I can't stand people like this, because they make me sick. And they're the same people who want to lecture me about, well, that's not what the Bible said. But at what point have you actually interpreted the Bible literally? Do you even know the Hebrew that you're talking about? Probably not. Why? Because you're not educated. Why? Because you don't care. You listen to some feminist who interpreted it, and then you like the way it made you feel, so you latched onto it. Let's continue.
That is not quite there yet, but you just see the good in them, so you want to, you know? So sometimes you meet people, whether they're a friend, business partner, or even a potential love interest, right?
Notice she mentioned that last because it was the most socially unacceptable, but that should have been first.
And you automatically assume because they are a man, you're attracted to him, you know, maybe this is the one. And it's...
In other words, Beauty and the Beast. This is the modern day Beauty and the Beast story is the average woman trying to get Pookie or Ray Ray to become this good man. And even if that guy does that, he's not interesting anymore. She will waste her youth turning the bad guy, the Beast, into a man instead of choosing the man who's already there, who would have given her everything, but he was boring. He was not interesting. He was lame. He was goofy. Gentlemen, this is a woman who's supposed to be a Christian woman giving you the playbook of every other woman you would hear on the internet. You think because they have, they wear a cross or a yin-yang symbol or a crescent moon that they're a star of David that they're different? No, they're not. Their biology's the same. Hypergamy's still there. Gentlemen, the game does not change. It's the same game, just on a different playing field. The game just looks different. It's not actually different. This is the whole problem. This is why we have to talk about this. Because I know so many good Christian men who are, they're strong. They are very moral. They care about their communities. They care about other people. And then people like this type of woman will come in there and manipulate the living life out of this guy, gaslight him to kingdom come, and then I gotta sit there, and I'm like, my guy, what the hell are you doing? You're falling for this? And then I try to tell them, dude, she's manipulating the absolute living life out of you, and they're gonna look at me like I'm crazy. What? No, she's a good woman. She wouldn't do that to me. No. She just wants what's best for me. No. She's just pushing me to be a better man. No, that's not what the Bible says that you should do. No. That's the culture talking. You're horny and you want to hit that. Don't lie to yourself. See, this is the problem. This is the part that makes me so angry when I hear about... Sorry, I gotta get myself under control. I'm going to go off the rails. The reason why I hate it when pastors talk about to teach men basically to be afraid of sex is because then the one power that women have over men, which is the power of intimacy, they have no defense against it. Zero. Nothing. You want to know why guys who have been with multiple women, they are basically immune to the garbage and the BS and the games? It's because they played the game. They know how it works. They know how to avoid it. They know what the playbook is. It's like playing chess. You play enough games of chess, you could see what the next guy's going to do. You could see what moves are available for what piece and when you can react. If you've never played chess, you have no idea what the other person's going to use against you for a strategy. Versus, let's apply that to the dating world. If you're the average schmuck who has next to no experience, you don't know your own biology, you don't know the power of post-nut clarity, you haven't developed pre-nut clarity, much less experienced post-nut clarity, and now you're going up against these women, so-called born-again virgin women, who have been out in these streets for 10 years, you think that that's a level playing field? No! It's not! And it's no wonder that you're getting exploited, you're getting gaslit, you're turned into a beta male pocketbook with short hair. And why you're left holding the bag thinking you're the problem because you don't even know what happened. And the pastors, they don't prepare you for this. Why? Because if they told you what I'm telling you in a church, the women would leave the church and stop donating money to them and would make them feel bad and they'd turn their gump husbands against the pastor. You think I don't know it? I know it for a fact. Gentlemen, this is why I'm passionate about this stuff. Because this stuff your pastor won't tell you because he's been cucked out in plain English. You notice the subtle feminist rhetoric in there? I hope you did, because it was very obvious to me. I hope you noticed it too. We got one more video on the show today relating to this idea, and this is a married woman, apparently. Let's see what she has to say. We're not going to play all 8 minutes of this video. I don't have enough sanity to spend on that, but we're going to see what she has to say.
I'm a 32-year-old Christian girl who got married at 28.
Oh, this video's... What did I just say? What did I just say about women going into the church from age 25 to 30 looking to get married? What did I just say? I told you. I don't watch these videos all the way through. I told you. What did I just say? Already proving my point. Right out the gate. Right about 30. Going into the church, finding a gump. Right out the gate. Proving my point.
And here are some honest reflections on marriage. That is not your highly curated Christian girl, I love being married content. This is just some honest observations from me after almost 3 years of marriage. And some of y'all might think this is oversharing, but if you know me, you know I'm just a complete open book. And if what I have gone through and maybe some of these observations are helpful to you, whether you're single, still waiting for your spouse, or you're in a relationship, and help you to have more perspective and help you to not have as many crazy expectations like I did, then keep watching.
Did anybody else notice the very passive-aggressive language? In other words, what she's saying is, I wanted to get married, and I've already been married for 3 years, and I'm bored out of my mind, and I can't say that because then I'm going to get called out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use a lot of passive-aggressive, non-direct coded language for the men so they can't say anything. But the girls, y'all are going to get everything I'm about to say for the next 8 minutes. That's what she said.
Or maybe you're not a Christian and you're like, oh my gosh, saving yourself from marriage, that's so stupid and antiquated, but you're just like morbidly curious.
Ma'am, you didn't save yourself for marriage. No woman over the age of 22, no woman over the age of 21 is a virgin. I don't care what lies you're told. I don't care what excuse they have. It's a complete and utter lie. It's a fabrication. It's not possible. The only place you might find that, if at all, is like Iran or Afghanistan, where they hold their women basically under lock and key in a burqa. You ain't gonna find that in the United States with all the... Does nobody else go to high school with the high school parties and the trains being ran on girls with like... What? Please, don't even try to tell me this absolute hogwash.
It's about what someone's marriage experience has been like after saving themselves from marriage. Keep watching, because it might satisfy your morbid curiosity. Okay, random observations in no particular order. Number one, it can be really hard to go from a series of short-term relationships to a long-term marriage.
In other words, I'm used to having a ton of... I'm used to doing a lot of salami smuggling in my vajayjay from a bunch of Chads and Tyrones, and that was exciting, but now this is not exciting. He's probably vanilla as hell, and I'm bored. Okay.
The longest relationship I was ever in was 4 months, and I attribute a lot of this...
Why would you marry a woman like this? Why would you marry this woman? She's giving it out to you, telling you, hey, I've been imprinted by Chad and Tyrone, probably had a 12-inch schlong, and beat the brakes off of me, and I'm going to compare him to you every other day for the rest of your life. What are you doing? Why would you sign up for this garbage, bro?
It's like, I mean, I'd go on 3 dates with someone and be like, yeah, nope, they're not the one.
Oh, 3 dates. Oh, yeah. Oh, and sleeping with him. You left that part out.
And my relationships were always so short because I was such a quick decider. And I thought that was a good thing. Hey, I've got my list of non-negotiables, what I'm looking for in a godly spouse. And you've probably seen all the Christian girl TikToks that are like, here's your list that you should have.
Gentlemen, just a little FYI from your boy Austin. Just so you know, women make lists for betas. If you're that guy, if she likes you, she's attracted to you, she gets wet whenever you walk by, her list doesn't mean anything. It's a bunch of crap. She does not care about... She ain't gonna whip out no list for Chad, you feel me? You think she's looking at Giga Chad with the muscles and the nice and the Bentley and then 12-inch schlong, and she gonna be like, no, he doesn't pray 4 times a day like my father said he should. So I'm not gonna let him pipe me. I'm not gonna let him treat me to dinner. I'm not gonna let him do any of that stuff. What are you...
Oh, hell
Are you kidding me? Come on. See, this is the kind of stuff that men listen to and they're like, oh yeah, that doesn't sound that bad. Sounds innocent enough. Gentlemen, me, Austin Creed, I have slept with women on the first date and I didn't have to ask them for it. They dropped neck on me and I did not ask for it. I was literally like, no, girl, like, don't worry about it. I'm not that kind of dude. They were throwing it on me. Hey, you choose not to believe me if you want. That's your choice. I'm telling you the way it is. I have had multiple intimate relations with women on first dates. Most of the time, without ever walking in and being like, I'm gonna get some tonight. I've done it. And so you mean to tell me this woman hasn't? I'm a man. Sex is harder for me than it is for her. You really think she hasn't done it? Are you kidding me? Stop lying.
And while that's great, while I believe you should have non-negotiables and not drag someone along if you know that they don't meet those, but it can set you up for some difficulty. Again, I wouldn't have done it any differently, but it was so hard to go from just these very short relationships where you really don't have to go through a whole lot with that person. Yes, there'd come a point, you know, maybe right before you break up from that 2-month relationship where you're going through something and you're like, wow, we really don't see eye to eye, so we'll just break it off.
She's used to toxic men, and now she doesn't have a toxic man, and she's bored. In plain English, she's telling you she's bored out of her mind, and maybe even thinking about cheating on her husband. I know that's not what she said, but that's what she meant. Ladies, if you're here, please let me know if I'm lying. I'm not trying to lie. I'm just telling you the way I see it. And I'm not mad at her, by the way. I'm not mad. I'm just passionate about the subject, and I think it's something that we need to discuss more, because this is something that you're not going to get told as a man, most likely.
Well, it can be hard to know rhythms of conflict and conflict resolution in a long-term relationship if that is your experience. Again, I wouldn't have done anything differently, but just be prepared. It's going to be different, and you might find yourself going like, oh my gosh, you know, we argue, and this is an argument maybe we've had for 2 years in our marriage. Does that mean something's wrong? No, it just means you're in a long-term relationship.
No, it means the guy is freaking beta as hell, and you don't respect him. That's what that... See, guys, this is what I'm talking about. She's telling you the problem, but you're not listening. See, if you just listen to everything she said and take it face value and you don't decipher it, you'd be forgiven for thinking that this is somewhat of a wholesome video. It's not. She's telling you she's bored. She's telling you that she's already pretty much uninterested in her husband already. Probably is having marital missionary with this man. She's probably done with it. Look, gentlemen, this is the kind of stuff you run into in relationships like this. This is why we're talking about it today. Not because I'm angry. I know it could sound like it, but I'm not I'm more angry when people lie. Okay? When people are truthful, even if I hate the answer, I'm not gonna get mad at you for that. I'm gonna thank you for being honest with me. But if you're gonna lie to me, you're gonna try to waste my time and the time of the men and women in this community, then we have a problem. Because when you lie about something, it makes me sick, frankly. Especially when it's so blatantly obvious that you're lying, it makes me sick. And I know that I'm not alone. Gentlemen, this is the kind of stuff you have to endure if you choose to go down this road. Now, are you guaranteed this type of relationship? No. Is it statistically what you're likely to run up against? Yes. So then we have to be careful about what we engage with and what we allow. And so we shouldn't just trust people because they put a title or letters in front of their name, like a PhD or a master's or a whatever, or they say they're Christian or they say they're Jewish or they're Islamic or whatever. You shouldn't just trust people because they say they're in a similar faith as you or a situation as you. Think for yourself and don't just go with the program. That's what I hope you learned from this show, is to not fall for the exploitation that traps that people set for you because they think you're not going to see it coming. My friends, if you have anything you want to add to the discussion, anything you want to comment on your way out, please feel free to do so. If you like the video, you know what to do. I don't got to beg for it. But I just want to leave you with some food for thought. And I hope that you ask yourself, what is it you want? Why do you think you've been conditioned to act the way you act or think the way you think? My friends, take care of yourselves. I'm out of here. Peace.